society. We are surrounded by a lot of big trees, and those big trees can make us lose sight of the big thing, of lose sight of the forest. We get so caught up with the needs of now and what's happening immediately and what's going on today, whether it's health concerns or financial concerns or political concerns or fire, air pollution concerns, all the different things going on. I feel like a lot of times I get in the mode of, I got to get through today. I got to figure out today how I'm going to get through. You know, the kids are in the school and I'm trying to get to the grocery store and I need to also get, you know, the sermon prep in, and I get like today, and we get so many immediate needs that it becomes all about immediate needs going on. And we can lose sight of the bigger picture. We don't see the forest because of the trees. So this morning, my goal is to help us remember and focus on the bigger picture of things. Specifically, what is our purpose and what is our identity? Who are we and what are we really supposed to be about? And so we need to be reminded of that this morning, and so that when we see the forest, to see the big picture, then that will inform and guide how we deal with the trees right around us, with the immediate things that really do demand our attention. So this morning, we're going to look at our passage this morning is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9. So you can open your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And we're starting off a new series. We're going to be looking, going through these first few chapters, verse by verse, 1 Corinthians. And what you'll see as we build this message out, kind of what the point of the series is going to be about as well. But a little bit about the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, to the believers in the city of Corinth. Now, when I say city of Corinth, that maybe doesn't mean a lot to most of us, but it meant a lot to the people in those days. Corinth was the second biggest city in the Roman Empire. 700,000 people lived there, so it's big. And it was super wealthy, super trendy, and super had everything money could buy. It was on a major trade route, so everybody going east, west, north, or south all had to go through Corinth. And because of that, there was money to be had. Everybody's got, their pockets were full, and they were living it up. Not only was there a lot of money, but there was everything money could buy. If you can imagine, all the pursuit of pleasure was big in Corinth. You know, we got whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's our phrase, right, that we all know. In Corinth, they would use the word to Corinthianize, was like wild living it up. That's how what this city was known for. Is wild living, big money, and all the luxuries money could buy. Not just that, but it was super into, there was plenty, all the famous people were in Corinth, all the diplomats were coming through, and all the big time people were there, and they were, it's all about being, it's all about fame and fortune and pleasure. That's what Corinth was really about. Now you could think Corinth would probably be the last place that a church would really grow and develop, with that being its setting, that being its environment. But Paul realized, hey, for the church, capital C, to really take off, Corinth is a super important city. So Paul, years before this letter, went and moved to Corinth for 18 months. For 18 months, he lived in Corinth, and he built this church, and the Holy Spirit used him there to build the Corinthian church. And now this is years later, and that Paul is now writing back to the Corinthian church, because he's heard through the grapevine that the church in Corinth is really struggling. They're not doing very well. They're really having a hard time breaking away from the culture that they're in. All these characteristics of the city had also become characteristics of the church, and it was becoming problematic. They were very factional, like because they were really into famous people, like, oh, I follow so-and-so, no, I follow so-and-so. And there was a lot of factions and divisions in the church because of that. They were very into carnal things of pleasure and pursuit of that above all else. They were very immature in their faith as they were chasing after all these different things. And because of that, the church was struggling. So Paul wrote this letter to the church of Corinth, and I think it's a letter obviously appropriate for them, but I think it's a letter appropriate for us today living in America. As a word of instruction to the church that can easily be pulled into culture, not just engaging culture, but becoming like culture, not transforming culture, but instead conforming to culture. And so I think it's an important letter for us to hear as Christians, to help us to not lose sight of our purpose, our identity, and our calling as a people of God. So that's our hope this morning, is that we can see this today, out of the letter to the Church of Corinth, is to see those things. And so let's read it together. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read these, go through it kind of verse by verse. We're going to read a verse, talk about it, read a verse, talk about it. So that's going to be the rhythm of how this is going to go. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. Isn't that great that he has such a clear calling, identity? Wasn't that awesome when he could just say, Paul, called to be an apostle by Christ Jesus? I hope we can all have an identity that we can just embrace. I could say, Tom, called to be a pastor in the city of Long Beach. If I could just own that, if you can call it, say, whatever your thing is, Val, called to be a teacher by Christ in Inglewood. You know, and just be able to own that as your identity. I love that, he's able to just be so firm in that conviction of his purpose. Okay, verse 2. So that's who it's from, and now it's two. Verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And this is a key verse, because in this verse, Paul packs a lot of things. He starts off this whole big letter with, this is his introduction. And it's so important because it establishes so many important things. First, Paul begins by reminding them of their identity, who they are, their identity. He says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified by Christ Jesus, sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's who they are. That's our identity of as believers in Jesus Christ, whether you're in the church of Corinth or whether you're in a church in Long Beach, that is your identity. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are accepted. You are made right. You are sanctified. That is who, that is your identity in Christ Jesus, because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And what's so beautiful, that sanctified in Christ Jesus, notice it's not not will be sanctified or you're being sanctified. He says you are sanctified. It's done. It's happened. It's past tense. It's something that's been done for you in Christ Jesus. It's not something you work for, not something you attain, not something you grit your teeth and make happen by the sweat of your brow and your effort. No, it's already happened. It's who you are. It's who you are. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are sanctified. You're forgiven. You're accepted. You are made right in Jesus Christ. So that is their identity. That's their identity and our identity in Jesus Christ. We're sanctified. That's who we are. We're sanctified in Christ Jesus. And he continues on, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. So he talks about their identity as sanctified in Christ and then their purpose. What's the purpose of being sanctified in Christ? What is the purpose? To be holy, called to be his holy people. So we're sanctified, that's our identity, and our call, our purpose, is to be holy. And that word holy means set apart. It means different. It means distinct. It means separate. So the idea is, in the city of Corinth or the city of Long Beach, we are sanctified, that's who we are, and we're called to be set apart, to be different. And not just different like, okay, we're going to be different because we're all going to wear pink every day, and that's going to be our thing. That's going to make us different. We're going to be different because we're all going to be weird in a certain way. No, it's not just different, but it's different, but also different in the issue, like in the areas of purity and righteousness and set apart in that way. And now this one is, so the other was past tense, right? So you have been sanctified. That's your identity in Christ Jesus. You're sanctified. And then your purpose is to be holy. And that be holy, notice that's not past tense. That is now. That's active. That's doing. He says, so you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That is your identity. And then your purpose now is to be holy, to be his holy people, to be set apart. So it's interesting. He says, kind of almost says, you've been made holy. That's your identity. Now go be holy. Your identity is sanctified. You are a saint. And now go be a saint. So the thing that God has done for you, he's already done. And now we live that out by being set apart and different. So we've been made holy, past tense, and we are now to be holy. So the idea is understanding who we are, but in light of who we are, who are we supposed to be? What is our purpose in life? And so it's interesting that he says, past tense, it's been done, and now go live that truth out. So you've been sanctified, you're accepted, you're forgiven, you're a saint, and now, oh, saint, go be a saint. He continues. So he says, your identity, sanctified in Christ Jesus, your purpose, called to be his holy people. And then he continues, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And then Paul establishes right at the beginning of this letter, how do we do this? How do we live out this purpose? How do we, okay, if we're sanctified by our identity is sanctified in Christ, our purpose is to be holy, be his holy people. How do we do that? By calling on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reveals the how, calling on Jesus. So it begins with this call from God. He calls us and makes us holy, makes us sanctified. And then we call on Christ in the response. So there's this, he calls us and we call back. Like there's this call and response. So we respond to him in that same way. And so the question he was kind of posing to the city of Corinth, I think to us as well, is who do you call on in your life? What do you call on? Like what do you look to? When you're in trouble, what's the answer to that trouble? What do you call on? What do you depend on in your life? And for a lot of us, there was a time when it was, well, I call on money. I need money to solve my problems. Or I call on my job to then meet the money to then solve my problems. Or I call on this relationship, this person in my life. Or I call on the government. That's going to solve this. Or I'm going to call on whatever. And we call on these different things. We look at these other things. And Paul's addressing here that a transformation has happened, that we've broken free from those old allegiances. We no longer call on our old masters and instead begin to call on Jesus Christ. And this call, again, this call is this present tense call. And I looked up the word and all that, and within the tense, I wrote down this note that it emphasizes the habitual act which characterizes life. So it's continually call on Jesus, continue to call on Jesus. And then verse 3, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can everybody just pause and exhale? Doesn't that sound nice? Grace and peace. Can you use some of that today in today's world? I know I can. So Paul here lays out for the church of Corinth and for us their identity, sanctified in Christ, our purpose, called to be holy, then how we accomplish that purpose by calling on Jesus. But right now you might be thinking, okay, Tom, that's wonderful, but I don't really know how to do that. Like, there's a lot of big trees around me. It's hard to see that forest, you know, to see these bigger things, our identity and our purpose and how we do that. And so I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time believing I'm sanctified. I have a hard time living out my purpose as holy. Have you seen me? I mean, that's, you know, I have a hard time with that. And then calling on, I just don't do that a lot. So how do we do this? So Paul then goes into continues in this beginning of the letter talking about how we live this out. So in verse 4, he says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Now, later in the letter, there's some really ugly stuff in the church of Corinth. And it's some nasty stuff going on in there that would still be nasty today. And yet, Paul, he's so great. He writes to them, I always thank my God for you. Whenever I hear, but I just praise God for you. He still is able to acknowledge that they are sanctified. Even though in the midst of their sin and the things that were happening in that church, he says, I thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Paul establishes the reason we're sanctified. So you say, Tom, I don't know about the sanctified thing. I don't feel all that sanctified. Well, here's the reason you're sanctified. It's the grace of God displayed to you in Christ Jesus. That's why you're sanctified. It's by God's grace. That's the means that we are sanctified, and who you are is because of the grace of God. He continues in verse 5, for in him, in Christ, you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. Verse 6, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Christ Jesus to be revealed. And if you're thinking, oh, Tom, you know, our call, our purpose is to be holy. Okay, my identity is I'm sanctified in Christ. My purpose is to be holy, to be set apart. well, I'm bad at that. I'm not good at that. I don't think I can have what it takes to do that. Paul points out, no, you do have what it takes. You've been given. You have everything you need to be God's holy people. Because in verse 5, it's for in him you have been enriched in every way. Not you will be enriched. You've been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and knowledge. You have the words. You have the knowledge. Verse 7, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. You have everything you need in Christ Jesus to be holy, to be set apart, to live out your purpose as God's holy people. And then in verse 8, he says, he will also keep you firm to the end, so that ye will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, speaking about God's faithfulness. In verse 9, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if our identity is sanctified in Christ, if our purpose is to be God's holy people, to be set apart, the way we do that is by calling on the name of Jesus. And what does that look like? Verse 9, he has called you into fellowship with his Son. That happens in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we live in relationship with him. As we do that, he makes us his. That's how we live out our calling to be his holy people, is by living in relationship to him. Now, that can be a little bit hard to understand, the idea of relationship and God, because God is so big, and it's hard to know what that looks like. And the Bible can come across as a lot of rules, and it's really just about the rules. But it's not. It's about the relationship. And I've heard this recently on a podcast that Ted had sent me, but there's also, I've heard this many times, this illustration. I think it's so beautiful in describing the idea of relationship, what a relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. That word fellowship is really communing, a relationship. And it's the idea, a picture of a marriage. And if somebody didn't know about marriage and they asked me, Tom, tell me about marriage. What does it mean to be married? Well, is there a list of things I need to do as being married? You bet there is. If I'm married, I better take the trash out. I better get dinner done when it's my turn to do dinner. I better get the grocery store. You know, there's things that you have to do as married. But does that, by that list of things to do, does that define can you really describe the relationship that way? No, there's so much more depth to the relationship than the rules of what I'm supposed to do. Is there also things I'm not supposed to do as married because I'm married? Absolutely. There's things that I cannot do because I'm married. There's rules when we enter into this committed covenant relationship. There's rules of things I can't do. But could that describe the relationship by saying, here's what married is. I do these things and I don't do those things. No, it's so much more than that. There's so much more depth to a relationship than that. There's the living life together, the support and encouragement, the knowing one another and being known. There's the love and sacrifice and commitment to one another. There's so much depth to the relationship that isn't communicated in the do's and don't do's. Now, the do's and don't do's are there, but that doesn't communicate all the relationship. And I think in our walk with Jesus Christ, we get so, in our relationship with God, we get so into here's what I do and here's what I don't do. And yes, that's part of it. But so much more than that is this relationship. This communing together, this talking, this engaging with each other. We get to speak to God in our minds whenever we want to. He's always there. He's always listening. He's proven himself faithful over and over again. And we get to engage him in this relationship all through the day. You don't got to stop and be on your knees and close your eyes and bow your head to talk to God. You get to talk to God in the shower. You get to talk to God driving the car. You get to talk to God in the grocery store line. You get to have a relationship with God throughout all this. And so when I say fellowship with Jesus Christ, that's the beauty of all this, is how this comes about, is our relationship, is this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so the main point, here's what I want you to get today. This is what I hope when you guys walk out of here, or if you're at home, log off, is that we understand the big picture in light of all these things that are immediate right around us that demand our immediate attention. And they do. I'm not saying ignore these things, but I want us to see the big picture, to kind of pull the perspective back to see the big picture. And the big picture is this. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are, your identity. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You're accepted. Know your purpose. You are to be holy. You're to be set apart. You're to be different and distinct from the world. And how do we live out that purpose? It's in relationship with Jesus Christ, by calling on Jesus Christ. So I hope in the light of everything else that we're dealing with, we can prioritize those things and put everything under that umbrella that I am sanctified, I am forgiven, I'm accepted. That's who I am. My call is to be holy and set apart and distinct from this world. And the way I'm able to do that is by living out my relationship with Jesus Christ, by calling on him. And so that's my encouragement for you as we face everything that's going on in our world right now, is to be reminded of those wonderful truths. And we're starting off this series for the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at the first few chapters of 1 Corinthians. And really the goal of this series is, and the title of this series, is showing off the glory of Jesus Christ. That during this time, we would all show off the glory of Jesus Christ. We want to show off our own glory, show off our who we hope gets elected glory. We won't show off all that. We will show off the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives. So that's my hope for me, and that's my hope for you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for not just saving us, leaving us, and having us wait for heaven, but instead, you changed our identity. Thank you for making us who we are. And God, I pray that you would help us by your Spirit live out that truth, live out that reality. We would take our purpose seriously. And we would value our purpose and prioritize it. And God, I pray for each one here today, myself included, that you would draw us even closer into relationship with you. Wherever each one here today is with you, I pray that you would move them one step closer, that we would talk with you more, we would listen more, we would engage with you and enjoy and appreciate the joy of being your child. Thank you so much for loving us. Help us to live in that love and live out that truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.